Welcome to Meals for Maturity, Bible talks to help you mature as a follower of Jesus, by Pastor Dom Fiocco.
Author Muriel Anderson has said the foremost important words for her growing up were, "Of course you can." She writes, "I was fortunate enough to have a dad who was good at shouting, 'Of course you can,' at just the right moments. So when it came to her first writing gig as a freelance journo after her schooling, she was quick to say to her parents, 'I don't think I can get it published,' to which her dad quickly responded, 'Of course you can.' It was just the right four words and backing that this fledgling writer needed to hear and to get going and to be published. And perhaps as Christian people, sometimes those around us might need a little four words shouted to them from time to time, 'Of course you can.' Not so much because you and I are super gifted or talented, but rather because we have a God who works in us, his works of grace, and equips us for the Christian journey. Welcome to the fifth and final Meals for Maturity talk on the topic of, or the theme of, encouragement, breath from heaven. No matter how long you've been a follower of the Lord Jesus, we all need fuel in the tank, or recharging our batteries, if you don't know what a petrol station is anymore. We all need breath from heaven to keep us walking by faith and not by sight. Well, today, in closing this series, I want to finish on the topic of encouragement for the race. We've already heard across this series some Bible reminders and commands to be people of encouragement. Remember Hebrews chapter 3, verses 12 and 13. "Take care, brothers and sisters, lest there be in any of you an evil, unbelieving heart leading you to fall away from the living God. But exhort one another every day, as long as it's called today, that none of you may be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin." Across the New Testament, we're encouraged often to encourage others sitting next to us in our church gathering. It was the pattern of the early church in the story of Acts. Here's just one example among many, Acts chapter 13, verses 13 to 16. "Now Paul and his companions set sail from Paphos and came to Perga in Pamphylia. And John left them and returned to Jerusalem. But they went on from Perga and came to Antioch in Pisidia. And on the Sabbath day they went into the synagogue and sat down. After reading from the law and the prophets, the rulers of the synagogue sent a message to them saying, 'Brothers, if you have any word of encouragement for the people, say it.' And so Paul stood up, and then away he went." I think it's safe to say that every Christian across every church needs brothers and sisters to bring words and actions of encouragement. We all need encouragement to help us along in Christian service. How encouraging if we can shout the words often to others, "Of course you can." We need encouragement to endure suffering, to walk away from temptations that so easily entangle us. Encouragements to stay the course, to be sacrificial, to be joyful. Encouragements to be servants and witnesses across God's kingdom. There is a reason why, when it comes to the Olympics, summer or winter variety, that the host nation often does really well in the medal tally. Maybe there'll come a day when New Zealand try to host the games just so they can get more medals than Aussie, 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 oi, oi, oi. See, the host nation for the big sports carnival every 4 years, they have the home advantage of many in the crowd cheering their athletes on. And their presence and their cheering brings fuel, or it's a good hit of adrenaline to those competing. And the home crowd can bring that extra level of encouragement that often gets athletes across the line. Well, that's the image we're given in this reading from Leslie Now.
Hebrews 12, verses 1 to 4 and verses 12 to 15a. "Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured from sinners such hostility against himself, so that you may not grow weary or faint-hearted. In your struggle against sin, you have not yet resisted to the point of shedding your blood. Therefore, lift your drooping hands and strengthen your weak knees, and make straight paths for your feet, so that what is lame may not be put out of joint, but rather be healed. Strive for peace with everyone, and for the holiness without which no one will see the Lord. See to it that no one fails to obtain the grace of God, that no root of bitterness springs up and causes trouble, and by it many become defiled.
The letter to the Hebrews gives us some great words to encourage each other in the Christian race that's set before each one of us. It's 13 chapters reminding us to spur each other on in our race. It's like the author is saying to each one of us, don't quit now. Don't drift. Don't be lazy or lethargic in the spiritual battle. Keep fighting the good fight. Run the race. Keep going. Keep heading toward Christ at the finish line. Hand to the plow, no turning back. Flee sin and help your brother or sister do the same. Our high priest, he's saying, and Saviour is worthy of your very best race. Pursue excellence. Chase after holiness. He's saying the crowd of witnesses who've gone before you are cheering you on. Let me focus on just two practical outworkings we get from the letter to the Hebrews to help us run the Christian race and be there at the finish line to be welcomed by our Saviour and our God, the Lord Jesus Christ. Just two things. Firstly, encouragement to keep meeting together, and secondly, encouragement directed toward your Christian leaders. Let's hear this well-known passage from Hebrews and let it sink into your soul once more, or perhaps maybe for the very first time.
Hebrews 10, verses 19 to 25. Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the holy places by the blood of Jesus, by the new and living way that he opened for us through the curtain, that is, through his flesh, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near.
Now, there's lots in this passage. You might like to colour it purple because it really is a purple passage. So, because we have confidence to approach God's throne of grace because of Jesus' death and resurrection on our behalf, and because we have a high priest who gives us access to God the Father, referring to Jesus as our mediator, our go-between for sinful humanity and a holy, righteous God. Because of these gospel truths, the author to the Hebrews gives us five lettuces straight from your garden. Firstly, verse 22, let us draw near to God. Secondly, verse 23, let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering. Verse 24, let us consider how to stir up or spur on one another to love and good deeds. Fourthly, verse 25a, let us not neglect or give up meeting together in church fellowship. And finally, verse 25b, let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day of Christ approaching. What this passage shows us, what these five lettuces show us, is that the Christian way is always togetherness. We're never to run the race in isolation from others. Keep meeting together is the essence of encouragement. Being individualistic in our Christian faith is the essence of discouragement. To not meet regularly in worship or fellowship with others is a recipe perfect to bring discouragement to yourself and to others. It's also the perfect storm which results in you beginning the slow drift away from following the Lord Jesus. See, to claim to be a Christian and not go to church means you must have a different Bible than me or to come to that conclusion. To not understand the great sacrifice won for us by our Lord Jesus and the adoption into God's family that is ours by grace. Hebrews chapter 10, verses 19 to 25 is really the great starting point of how to encourage others in their Christian race. Make it your goal, if it's not already, to meet and gather with other believers on a weekly basis. Cancel events and other engagements so that you can gather together under the banner of grace. Don't use the excuse, which I've heard far too often, far too many times, that you're witnessing to others and spending time with unbelieving friends when you happen to skip church. That does very little to communicate the importance of your Christian faith for all of life. Much better to say to your friends or family members, "You know what? I can spend time with you in any other time slot over the weekend, but there's one time slot that Jesus takes priority over everyone else." Or even better, "Hey, why don't you come to church with me, and then straight after we can leave and we can go and play golf or shoot rabbits or inject coffee into your bloodstream together, whatever it is that you're going to do." For years, I've seen Christians weaken our gospel witness by putting things in place of being with God's people at church, whether that's kids' birthday parties, swimming lessons, sports games, concerts, or just taking regular work shifts in church time slots. Gather together with your church family weekly, and you'll automatically be an encouragement to others. And perhaps more importantly, you'll bring the smile of heaven down upon you. Maybe you've heard of the first two athletes to ever break what was known then as the 4-minute mile. No one, up until 1954, had run the distance of 1 mile, or 1.6 kilometres, that no one had run that distance under 4 minutes. But at the British Empire and Commonwealth Games in 1954, held in Vancouver, British runner Roger Bannister and Australian athlete John Landy both broke this historic record marker. One TV commentator at the time, Steve Douglas, remembers the race well. He recalls, "Everyone in the stadium wondered if Bannister and Landy could keep up their blistering pace as they raced together, well out in front of others on the track. But as they neared the end of the race and came round the final bend, the crowd rose as one with this constant roar of encouragement to keep running hard." And sure enough, that's what both the runners did. Bannister won the race by 0.8 seconds. And both he and John Landy had broken the magic barrier of 4 minutes. Now, it's doubtful that this wouldn't have happened if not for the crowd of witnesses spurring the runners on. How much more for you and me in our race do we need the Christian congregation to spur us on, to cheer us on? Oh, how we need to hear the For King and Country song. Remember the lyrics? "I'll be cheering you on when no one else will. I'll be cheering you on as you run the race. I'll be by your side in it all. I'm cheering you on." So one practical outworking to help us run the race: encouragement to keep meeting together. And secondly, encouragement directed toward Christian leaders. Hebrews 13 leaves us with a couple of simple lines to remind us of this application. Hebrews 13 verse 7, "Remember your leaders, those who spoke to you the word of God. Consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith." And then verse 17 of chapter 13, "Obey your leaders and submit to them, for they are keeping watch over your souls as to those who will have to give an account. Let them do this with joy and not with groaning, for that would be of no advantage to you." One Christian author titled his book, "Don't Wait Till He's Dead. Everybody Needs Encouragement Now." And that's especially true, I think, of Christian leaders. Don't wait to eulogize your pastor or other ministry leaders. Don't wait to bless them at their funeral when you share how encouraging they might have been to you in your Christian walk. Don't wait till he's dead. Everybody needs encouragement now. It's been well documented, especially following the COVID years, but even before then, it's been well documented that many pastors and Christian leaders give up and walk away from churches and ministries because of serious burnout. Well, there's a simple reason for this. Christian ministry and leadership is a hard slog. It's on the front line of the spiritual battle that we all face. And so often, it's the silence and criticism that comes to them rather than the breath of heaven, rather than encouragement to keep them going. Christian preacher John Wesley, from yesteryear, once wrote in his journal, he was wondering if he was truly right with God since he had received no criticism for the entire day. Now, that's a little bit extreme, I know, but you sort of get the point. I often say to my ministry team in any given week, I praise God that there are enough encouragements to outweigh the discouragements and heartbreak that comes along sometimes in kingdom labours. So if you're one who brings those encouragements along to me, thank you. It is fuel for my tank to keep me running that little bit further on. Let me throw out some practical ideas you might like to think on when it comes to bringing encouragement to your leaders, pastors, others involved in serving at your church. If the preacher helps you with something in your Christian journey, if there's a sermon or a Bible talk you find helpful, then let the preacher know. Remember, every pastor and leader is riddled with sin and has feet of clay. They're not super Christians. They need your encouragement. Listen to this wise advice from Christian pastor and author Kevin DeYoung. He writes, "If your pastor's sermon helped you see more of Jesus, or helped you turn from sin, or helped you better understand the Bible, or helped you be a better spouse, or helped you trust God in the midst of suffering, or stirred your affections for the glory of God, then tell him. A little bit of encouragement will go further than you think." And then he writes, very truthfully, I think, he writes, "I think most pastors genuinely have no idea if they're making any difference in the lives of their people. I think they spend a lot of time quietly wondering if they are just whistling in the dark. Don't worry about his head getting too big. The Lord knows how to keep his pastors humble, so you can worry about keeping them going." How true those words are. Another way you can encourage your leaders is simply by being present to hear God's word in church. And this, of course, relates to what we saw earlier from Hebrews chapter 10. You can encourage your leaders and pastors by having God's word open as they teach you from his word. Nothing is more encouraging to preachers than seeing eyes down upon the pages of scripture, not really the phone screen, which is the number one distraction for Christians in churches nowadays, apart from that smelly baby that needs the nappy change in the row behind you, perhaps. But you can encourage your leaders by having God's word open. You can encourage your leaders by being doers of God's word and not just hearers. That is, seeking to put God's word into action and not just becoming a smarter sinner. I know another way you can encourage your leaders, and that is when you give money generously, sacrificially, cheerfully to support your local church and also to global missions. Finally, you can put encouragement into action toward your leaders by using words, which of course I've done a whole Bible talk on previously. Charles Spurgeon writes, "I fear that a large contributor to pastoral burnout in many good people is a severe shortage of wise Barnabas-born well-dones." We might even add a few "of course you cans" will never go astray either. Bible commentator from last century, William Barclay, reminds us, "The world is full of discouragers. One of the highest duties of the Christian is to be an encourager." And yes, while it's true that Romans chapter 12 verse 8 speaks of people having the special gift or the Holy Spirit empowerment of encouragement, the rest of the New Testament, and especially the letter to the Hebrews, reminds us that it's the responsibility of all Christians to be encouragers, or to be Mr. and Mrs. Barnabases. It's the command across the New Testament for every believer to be an encourager to fellow travellers. So how are you going with this Christian duty? John Piper reminds us, as only John Piper can, as he sticks the knife in and twists it a little bit. He writes, "When our mouths are empty of praise or encouragement for others, it's probably because our hearts are full of love for self." Ouch. As we close this series of five very different Bible talks, may the Holy Spirit, the great encourager of you and me, help us abound more and more in the grace of encouraging one another to press on to the finish line, knowing that we will receive the crown of glory because one has gone before us wearing the crown of thorns and pouring out upon us grace upon grace. Does anyone around you need encouragement? Well, if they're still breathing, then yes. Let's pray that God will bring about a culture of encouragement across your church and mine, that the breath of heaven would blow often across your life and mine, and that God will be pleased to use us to speak and to act and to excel in the work of being an encourager. And to God be the glory.
Thanks for listening to Meals for Maturity. Keep growing in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ.